He looked around the taxi's window, searching for an intersection of coloured lines that would demark the fourth ship, and found nothing. "Is the Islamabad behind us?" he asked his father. "No," his father said softly, "it isn't behind us." There was a tone in his father's voice which troubled Skye, but in the gloom of the taxi's interior, his father's expression was hard to read. Perhaps that was deliberate.
"Where is it, then?"
"It isn't there now." His father spoke slowly. "It hasn't been there for some time, Skye. There are only four ships left now. 7 years ago, something happened to the Islamabad." There was a silence in the taxi which stretched endlessly before Skye found the will to reply.
"What?"
"An explosion. An explosion like nothing you can imagine." His father paused before speaking again, like a million suns shining for the tiniest of instants. "Blink, Skye, and think of 1,000 people turning to ashes in that blink." Skye thought back to the flash he had seen in his nursery when he was 3. The flash would have troubled him more if it had not been eclipsed by the way Clown broke down that day. Though he had never quite forgotten it, when he thought back to that incident, it was never the flash that was the more important thing, but his companion's betrayal. The stark realization that Clown had only ever been a mirage of flickering wall pixels. How could the brief, bright flash ever have signified something more upsetting than that?
"Someone made it happen."
"No, I don't think so. Not intentionally, anyway. They might have been experimenting, though."
"With their engines?"
"Sometimes I think that was what it probably was." His father's voice grew hushed, almost conspiratorial. "Our ships are very old, Skye. I was born aboard our ship, just as you were. My father was a young man, hardly even an adult, when he left Mercury orbit with the first generation of crew. That was 100 years ago." "But the ship isn't wearing out," Skye said. "No," Titus said, nodding emphatically. "Our ships are nearly as good as the day they were built. The problem is that they aren't getting any better. Back on Earth, there were still people that supported us, wanted to help us on our way. Over the years, they had thought long and hard about the designs of our ships, trying to find small ways in which our lives might be improved. They transmitted suggestions to us, improvements in our life support systems, refinements in our sleeper berths. We lost dozens of sleepers in the first few decades of the voyage, Skye, but with the refinements we were slowly able to stabilize things." That was news to him, too. The idea that any of the sleepers had died was not at first easy to accept. After all, being frozen was a kind of death itself. But his father explained that there were all sorts of things that could happen to the frozen which would still prevent them being thawed out properly. "Recently, though, in your lifetime at least, things have become much better. There have only been 2 die-offs in the last 10 years. Skye would later ask himself what became of those dead, whether they were still being carried along by the ship. The adults cared deeply about the Momios, like a religious sect entrusted with the care of fabulously rare and delicate icons. But there was another kind of refinement," his father continued.
"The engines?"
"Yes." He said it with emphatic pride. "We don't use the engines now, and we won't use them again until we reach our destination. But if there was a way to make the engines work better, we could slow down faster when we reach Journey's End. As it is, we'll have to start our slowdown years from Swan, but with better engines we could stay in cruise mode longer. That would get us there quicker. Even a marginal improvement, shaving a few years off the mission, would be worth